Well, I can remember in past years, I don't know if this will ring a bell for you or not, but where different advertisers promoted this time of the year, Christmas in July. Anybody kind of remember some of those ads in days past? Well, it got me to thinking that's how I could actually introduce today's message. I want to start off talking about Christmas. This holiday is about 5 months away, and you can start thinking about the different presents, the different gifts that you're going to buy. And I emphasize the word different because unless you're giving everyone a gift card for Taco Bell, you're probably going to give a specific gift to each person, one that is intentional and unique. Well, that's basically what the Apostle Paul will be writing as his letter continues to the Corinthian church. And specifically, he wants the people to know that God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is a gift giver. And like us, he gives each of his children a gift or gifts that are intentional and unique to that person. So, in 1 Corinthians, we're going to be in chapter 12 today for those that like to follow along in their own Bible. The first 11 verses, Paul is going to be teaching that the Holy Spirit distributes a diverse variety of spiritual gifts to individual believers. I'll talk more about that. He emphasizes that these gifts are meant to be unified by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and then used for the common good of the entire church. The entire church of Caddis Friends, but also the entire church of capital C Church. No matter what the denomination is, if they're following Christ, we're all part of that church. However, just like in other parts of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, they were kind of messed up in some areas, and they were a deeply divided community struggling with a couple things as Christian believers. They were struggling with immaturity and jealousy. Some of the members were actually elevating the flashy or dramatic gifts over others, and that was leading to competition and pride. Now, old-timers like me might remember a commercial from probably back in the 60s. It went something like this. My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better because he eats kennel ration. My dog's better than yours. That was their jingle. Well, it seems to me, from what I'm reading here, some of the Corinthian church members had come up with their own jingle. My spiritual gift is better than yours. It's not just them. Sometimes it can be us who think that way. And so we must be aware of this. It's a natural tendency for competition and pride. And when it comes to accepting our own gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit, we just need to accept what we've been given. And Paul addresses this by saying that every single believer, I'm going to stress this throughout the whole message, every single believer has a role to play and a gift to contribute. It makes everyone equal, equally valuable in this body that we call our church. And in the first verse for today, Paul's going to refer to these gifts as special abilities. So let's get into the first few verses, starting with verse 1, chapter 12. Now, dear brothers and sisters, he writes, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us. I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God, that's capital S, Holy Spirit, will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You see, folks, anyone at any time in history, now and in the future, anyone can claim to speak for God. The world has many false teachers. Paul gives us a test to discern whether a messenger speaks for God or not. And here it is. does he or she confess Jesus Christ as Lord? We don't want to naively accept the words of all who claim to have a message from God. Test their credentials by finding out what they teach about Christ. Now, I am so glad that so many of you want to come to our church worship services every Sunday that you can. This is where we sing songs about Christ and we teach our sermons are based on teaching about Christ. I'm also happy for those that give up an hour or so of their time on Wednesday nights to come to Bible study at Kennard at 6:30. It's another time where we can learn and find out more about Jesus. And I'm encouraged to hear that many of you read a devotional every day. In fact, we have not on the table now because we've got the VBS stuff, but we keep our daily bread devotionals, the little booklets, here for you to take. They're free to us and they're free to you. And that's a little thing that'll fit in your pocket, it'll fit in your purse easily. And that's one way of getting God's word in you every day. And if you're not one to even take the paper copy, you can download our daily bread on your phone through an app and you'll get it that way and it'll even read it to you if that would help. So not only with the devotion, not only with the church worship service, Bible study, devotionals, but I am so thankful for those of you who read your Bible every day. Did you hear what the kids sung about? If you read your Bible every day, you will grow. 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 Okay. I guess the kids probably do it better. I got no applause. Thank you very much, Marilyn. Okay. We'll work on that. Here's the thing. The reason for all the stuff I mentioned, getting to know Christ better, is so that you'll be able to recognize and discern a false prophet. Something I caught this years past, maybe decades past, about a bank that was training their employees how to recognize counterfeit bills. And in my opinion, I would have thought that they would have just brought in 10, 15, 50 counterfeit bills and showed them all the different types of counterfeits. But the bank didn't do that. What they did, they concentrated their employees on the original bills, the authentic bills. And they trained them on them. They trained on them so well, so much, to where they could feel and see the real thing, which meant if something came across that wasn't the real thing, they knew it was counterfeit. That's the way it will be for us with someone who's not teaching Christ the way a biblical way that they should. Okay, well, next. Paul's going to emphasize that the gifts from the Holy Spirit are both spiritual and different. So I'm going to read us three sentences from the next three verses, starting with verse 4. Paul says that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. And then finally, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in us. In those three little verses, did you notice that the words different and same were in every sentence? That doesn't make sense to me. It almost seems to contradict itself. How can same be different? How can different be same? Well, here's what Paul's trying to get at. It's actually all about unity. The same Holy Spirit brings unity in the church by giving different gifts to his people. God is completely involved in the giving, using, and empowering of these gifts. Now, specific gifts using like places of service, activities, they may vary, but they all have their best effects when they build up the body of Christ, the church. God creates a unique place in the body for every believer. There I go again, every believer. I hope you heard the words every and believer. So first of all, to be able to receive a gift or gifts from the Holy Spirit, you have to be a believer. You have to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then he gives you at least one gift. So I'm wondering, is anybody out there a believer? You get a gift. You get a gift. You get a gift. Anybody over here a believer? You get a gift. You get a gift. Almost sound like Oprah now, don't I? Gifts and ministries may overlap, but each believer has a specialized, God-designed role. And part of the exciting adventure of following Christ involves these three things. They're very simple. I hope it's simple enough that you can remember these. First one is this: discovering your spiritual gift or gifts. Discovering them. Now, there's many of you, you already know your gift. You've been using your gift for years, if not decades. Maybe if you're new to the Lord, you're still trying to figure that out. But the first thing is discovering your gift. The second thing is now making that gift available to God. And then the third thing, watching him use those gifts to accomplish more for his kingdom than you thought ever possible. Discover, make them available, and then watch the Lord use them. Let's go to our next few verses, 7-9. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that, why? So we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, that same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. And then the same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Did you catch that last verse? One of the gifts is actually faith. And not just faith, but great faith. You see, all Christians have faith. Some, however, have the spiritual gift of great faith, which is that unusual measure of trust and confidence in the power of God to accomplish all he desires. I think we all know a lot of people who have faith. But I bet we also know a few people who possess this great faith. That's one of their gifts from God. And I know there's some of those people in this room right now. Well, Paul continues listing the gifts, and starting with verse 10. He says he also then gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Several gifts there. Let me just highlight one of them. That's the gift of prophecy. The ability to prophesy does not just refer to predicting the future. Prophecy can also mean giving a message received from God to the community of believers. In fact, you know, we're in the next few weeks, we'll be into chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Here's what 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 says. One who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. And then centuries before Paul wrote that, here's what the prophet Joel wrote in his book. It was inspired by the Lord, a message from the Lord to the people that said this: I will pour out my spirit upon all the people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Not everybody gets that gift, but some will. Now then, as with the gift of faith, everyone can have the ability to share their faith with power, but to some, the Spirit gives a special measure of this gift. And Paul wrote to the Romans in his letter to them this very thing. Paul said, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Now, some have interpreted prophecy to refer to various sermons throughout the church history. Others, however, say that prophecy consists not only of sermons, but of spontaneous, spirit-inspired messages that are delivered among the believers for the edification and encouragement of the body of Christ. Well, here's our final verse for today, verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. No matter what gift or gifts a person has, all spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit decides which gifts each believer should have. And then we are responsible for using and sharpening our gifts. But we can take no credit for what God has freely given us. So no matter our gift, we can't ever take pride in it. Didn't come from you, didn't come from me. Came from God, came from the Holy Spirit. Now here's something else. Properly used, spiritual gifts are not self-serving, but serve the whole body of Christ. Did you catch that? We don't get spiritual gifts to lock ourselves in a closet and pray and read the Bible. Those are good things, but that's self-serving. We have to get out there in the body of Christ, with the body of Christ. And each gift becomes practically useless without love. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. The kids learned this yesterday. The very first fruit mentioned is love. Love. And we will learn more about this when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I'll share that. I'll wait and share that then. Now, so as we seek to identify and use the gifts that God has given us, we should make loving God and loving each other our highest motivations. Okay. The spiritual gifts given to each person by the Holy Spirit are special abilities that are to be used to minister to the needs of other believers in the body. Now, this morning, I think I've told you guys many times, I listened to Charles Stanley. I listened to two sermons that are published on the TV every week. I've done this for decades. So I go to church twice before I ever come to church once. This morning, he just happened to be talking about something very similar to all this. And he used this illustration, and I want to try to share it with you best I can. But let's say this is God up here. And down here is a need that someone has. God could miraculously, without any human intervention, meet this person's need. Do you all agree? Yeah. But do you know what he does most of the time, practically all the time, is he uses someone with a spiritual gift to tell that person someone has a need. And so while God could do it directly, God uses someone with a spiritual gift and they come and meet that person's need. I hope that little diagram can help us to remember how this all works. Now, this chapter that we're on and I've read through some of the spiritual gifts listed, this is not an exhaustive list. In fact, elsewhere in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, those chapters will give you even more lists of spiritual gifts. And we're going to get into this even more down the road. God gives many gifts to the people of his church, and he spreads those gifts around so that the members of the church can complement each other and accomplish more by working together. Aren't you glad that we don't all get the same spiritual gift? I mean, a spiritual gift is a good thing, but if we all had the same one, we would accomplish one thing. One thing. But the fact that it's spread around, we can accomplish all kinds of things together. Well, The Bible's also clear that some people have more than one gift, and one gift is not superior to the other. I want to emphasize that. All spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. I'm repeating myself with the purpose of building up Christ's body, which is the church. So, here's how I want to end. Do you know your spiritual gift? Again, some of you, I see some people shaking their head already. So some people already know their spiritual gift or gifts. Good. Use them. Keep using them. But I'm wondering if there aren't some people that they don't know. And so I want to try to answer the question of how can you know before you leave. And you won't know before you leave, maybe, but I'm going to give you four easy, quick things you can look for that will help you identify your spiritual gifts. The first one is this: self-examination. Notice what spiritual activities bring you a deep sense of joy, another fruit of the Spirit, joy and energy. You know, when I watch these young people lead Bible study or vacation Bible school yesterday, I was worn out and all I did was watch. But they had a joy in them to teach these children things and to have the patience, another thing, to deal with them. And they had the energy to do it. I'm thankful it was that they were in charge of VBS and not me. There'd be a lot of nap time. Okay, kids, it's time for another nap. Get your pillow. So here's the thing. Again, we're looking at self-examination. If you naturally feel a passion for teaching, music, helping behind the scenes, encouraging others, or working with children, or all kinds of other things, these desires that you have often align with your spiritual gifts. So just watch for that. Second thing, just active service. Step out and volunteer in various ministries within our church. It is difficult to discover a gift for hospitality or leadership or mercy until you actively put yourself in situations where those traits are required. And now let me tell you this, our church is a safe place for trying out what you think is your spiritual gift. And if it is, hallelujah, now you know and we know. If it's not, then just let somebody know and we'll take you off the schedule and you can try something else. How about that? And no one's going to do this. Oh, so-and-so started the such-and-such and now they're not doing it. Wasn't their gift, but they tried. Well, that's a third one. I got two more. How about the affirmation of others? Pay close attention to what trusted Christian mentors, church leaders, your peers, your friends, notice about you. Often, other people will recognize your spiritual gifts before you even do. So if people are saying, you're really good at that. You really handled that well. I like the way you work things out, doing this or that. Maybe that's my spiritual gift. And here's the final one. Structured assessment. Structured assessment. You can actually take a spiritual gifts inventory, or sometimes they're called a test. And these are questionnaires that help you evaluate all kinds of things, but your tendencies, your strengths, your weaknesses, your experiences, and they point you toward biblical gifts. I don't have one to share with you today. It cost us if we bought paper copies, and then you'd have to do all kinds of adding and circling, and it takes a while. Here's the easiest way to do it. Go to your internet site and just Google this. Free spiritual gifts assessments. And you will find dozens and dozens and dozens. Take one. Take 10. And that will help you. So do you see, there's four ways you can try to find out what your spiritual gift is. Well, I'm closing now. Okay. So don't forget, Christmas is in just 5 months. If you're trying to decide what to get me, I can give you a list of Mexican restaurants that offer gift certificates. Okay? see me after service. But also, the serious part is don't forget that if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit has already bought and delivered your gift. So start using it. First of all, find out what it is. Start using it, and then keep using it for His glory, and you will be blessed, and you'll be a blessing. Doris, what have you got to close with?
Hymnal number 15, Jesus Christ, the Lord.